I want to thank Allison for bringing the story of Advent and the birth of Christ to life for us over the past 4 weeks, and again tonight. There are actually only two birth stories in the Gospels of the New Testament. Only Matthew and Luke have a story of Jesus' birth. And tonight we heard a reading of the portion from Luke, and Allison shared from her perspective on the Luke story. Each of the four Gospels were written for a particular audience, about 80 to 100 years after the birth of Christ. And as Allison gave us a flavor of, it's interesting to reflect on what the world was like at the time that those Gospels were written. In Palestine, in the area where Jesus was born, the population was incredibly diverse. The Roman Empire itself was a very diverse place. There were many religions that lived in close proximity to each other, and some fear and apprehension due to this closeness. And the Romans ruled well. They were very good administrators, great with law, great builders of things, but very oppressive. They used war and oppressive tactics to maintain peace within their boundaries. So the world that these Gospels were written in was a world with great fear and despair, much oppression and war, gross inequality of income. About 3% of the population were incredibly rich, whereas the 97% were very poor. In fact, 30 to 40% of the people in those days were slaves, some voluntarily, because it gave them shelter and food if they offered themselves into slavery. But there was evidence of surprising tenderness and dignity during this time. Faith, hope, and love were values that were understood and appreciated. So what was it that Matthew and Luke were trying to communicate with the birth stories? Because they chose very particular ways to communicate. Now, for Matthew, the focus of the story was about Joseph's having to accept the fact that his betrothed was going to have a baby, and he was not the father of that child. This was important to Matthew because the lineage of Jesus was important to him. And the book of Matthew begins with showing Jesus' lineage dating back to Adam and Abraham and the true lineage, proving that Jesus was the Messiah. Matthew was speaking to a Jewish audience, one who'd been oppressed by Roman rule and wanted to convince them in his gospel written many years after Jesus' birth that this was the true Messiah who was going to bring peace to the earth. He wanted to give the Jewish people in the area hope for a better world. Now, the Gospel of Luke is the one with the shepherds and the angels, in many ways the more familiar one. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, and no more so in the birth story, is Luke's reaching out to the disenfranchised and the oppressed. The shepherds in the fields that Allison told us about, they were the first to see the star. They were the first to know the truth of Jesus' birth in this story that Luke wrote. Born in a lowly manger, it's as if Luke wanted to say to the shepherds, Jesus is like you. He is one of you. One who's going to bring hope and peace to a suffering world. Both Matthew and Luke were writing their gospels to the audience of their era with their purpose, their intent. And I wonder if they ever imagined in their greatest dreams that we would still be sharing these stories 2,000 years later. I wonder if they imagined that we would need these stories 2,000 years later, that we would need these stories of the possibility of the birth of hope and peace. Noel Regney, the lyricist who wrote, Do You Hear What I Hear? He needed to share this story with the world, even though he resisted initially to even writing the song. Noel had been a German, and he fought with the Nazis during World War II, and it broke his heart. He defected to France, and then eventually ended up in New York, and was writing popular songs with his wife and writing partner when he was asked to write a Christmas song. His heart didn't know if there was a Christmas song to be had. The world was facing the fear of the Cuban Missile Crisis. It had only been 15 years since the bomb had been dropped on Japan, and the idea of nuclear war was very present in people's hearts, present in their fear. And Regni had endured the horrors of war. He knew the fear and despair that war brought. And then he was walking down the street of New York and he saw the babies in their strollers. He saw that beautiful baby, the possibility of a future, the opening to the future. And suddenly he knew that he wanted to write a Christmas song. These babies were the inspiration for the beginning of the song, said the night wind to the little lamb. So it's not even the shepherds that are hearing in this song, right? It's the little lamb. Do you hear what I hear? The co-composer of the piece said that she and Regni could not even sing this song for a long time after they wrote it because it brought up so much emotion for them. It was deeply moving to long for peace at a time when people were so threatened by nuclear war. There are many songs and stories, some that we read tonight, about how the message got out about Jesus' birth, how this idea of bringing hope and love to the world is done, how the message is spread. The angel in the Luke story comes to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." But what I love about the "Do You Hear What I Hear" song is that the message spreads very slowly, starting with the little lamb to the shepherds, then it goes, the king hears of it, and then it goes out to all the people. But it's the lamb who had the message first. The message, this child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. This child could be any child, could be the babies that Regni saw sleeping in the strollers on the streets. Because the power of the Christmas story is to awaken this child in each of us. Awaken this idea that hope and peace can live. Do you hear what I hear? Can you open your heart? Can you open your senses to this longing for peace that is all around us? Can we bring this longing into our hearts and to our lives? Maya Angelou tells us, in our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first, it's too soft, only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness, the word peace. It is loud now. It is louder, louder than the explosion of bombs. And I say it is louder than the sound of the fearmongers. Louder still than the sound of fear that can fill our heads and our hearts. Can you hear it? Can you feel the hope and joy and longing for peace that is ready to come alive in our world? And if you do, can you spread this word? Like the little lamb, like the shepherds and the king, can you say to our loved ones, our neighbors, our community, and our world, do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? That peace is possible. That our longing for peace and our sharing of this longing will make it possible. On this night, on this magic night and in all the days to come. So may it be.
Please join me in the spirit of prayer, first in spoken words and then for a minute in the stillness of contemplation and in the rhythms of our common breathing, allowing the whisper of peace, the whisper of peace and dignity and tenderness to rise up in our souls. Dona nobis pacem. This is my song, O God of all the nations. Grant us peace. This is our longing, O my brothers and sisters, kindred of all genders. Bring peace all over the land, all over the globe. This is our prayer this Christmas Eve, O Spirit of life and of love, bring peace to every troubled city, nation, village, family, household, and refugee camp. Bring peace to the crowded prisons of our own country, to the cold streets where the unhoused wander or huddle for warmth. Bring peace. To places where violence has brought pain. To Paris, Beirut, Baghdad, Afghanistan, and Honduras, and Kenya. Bring mercy and peace all over the globe. As the lights of candles and Christmas trees draw us together for warmth and for peace, we send our wishes for strength to people we know who need strength. Wishes for serenity and courage and wisdom to those who long for these gifts. Wishes and prayers for ease in moments of stress, for comfort in seasons of grieving, for work and sustenance in times of need, for community in times of loneliness. May each one of us know the power that lies in us to make a difference, starting with our caring presence, starting with asking, do you hear that whisper? May we hear and recognize the sources of peace in our own lives, and may this knowledge open us to joy, to the joy of this season and this life. And let us give thanks for the gifts of love which we experience and enact, gifts of tenderness and kindness, of generosity and understanding, of patience and hospitality and encouragement. Let us enjoy the simple gifts of rituals and flavors and aromas, the curiosity and wonder of the younger ones among us, and the mischief and creativity of the young at heart. May this holiday kindle within our souls new light and warmth and hope and joy. May the holy quiet of these long nights find its way into our hearts. And may the celebrations of these days help us remember to give thanks for the gift of life and feel joy in receiving every good gift. So may it be. Blessed be. Amen.